Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Often, we do what we want to do, and we make inferior choices. We trivialize sin by calling it an error in judgment. Sin is a flawed approach to decision making that leads to feeling comfortable. In a thousand ways, we get used to making lesser choices. We get used to choosing the easy way. Yet, it is possible to follow a higher calling. Jesus is baptized in the muddy water of the Jordan River. The voice from heaven proclaims, "You are my child, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." Then Jesus goes to the middle of nowhere to decide what kind of child he's going to be. The wilderness is hot. The hills are dusty. The rocks are jagged. The wind howls at night. Jesus is so weighed down with the burden of choosing the direction for his life that he doesn't even think of food. It has been days, weeks since he has eaten. What a great understatement when Matthew writes, "And afterwards, he hungered." The silence is broken with a voice, a whisper, a screaming whisper. "If you are God's child, command this stone to become bread." Jesus remembers John, the River Jordan, the sky opening, and the voice saying, "You are my child, the beloved." But this is a different voice. "If you are God's child." Jesus was tempted by fast food. A rounded stone could become a loaf of pumpernickel. A flat rock could become a tortilla. Who will it hurt? If he is God's child, then why shouldn't he have what he wants? Don't we struggle with the attraction of doing what is easiest? This first temptation is to make our decision on the basis of what requires the least effort. We often pass on what is eternally best for what is more momentarily satisfying. We want what is comfortable. We want the easy way out. It is hard to forgive the guilty, to listen to the lonely, and to share what we have with the poor. It is much easier to settle for a tepid faith. We get so used to choosing what is easiest that we seldom consider the hard way of sacrifice. We would like to believe that an easy life is a sign of God's approval. But if we're comfortable, then perhaps we have missed what is best. Jesus understands the temptation of the easy way. One cannot live by bread alone. Obedience to God is more important than my own comfort. Satan tries again, like a con man with an arm covered with Rolexes. This time, it's from the steeple of the old First Church. If you are God's child, throw yourself down. You know what the Bible says, God will protect you. The first century Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would reveal himself from the temple roof. The tempter is reminding Jesus that if he is the Messiah, he will be what the people want. He can be a great religious leader and skip the hard parts. Jesus could have modified his ministry ever so slightly and been what the people wanted him to be. When Monty Hall offers us what is behind door number two, it's the temptation to look spiritual. We can keep up appearances even if we lower our expectations. In T.S. Eliot's play, Murder in the Cathedral, the tempter comes to Thomas Becket and offers the temptation of being a martyr, a religious hero. Becket understands. The last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right deed for the wrong reason. We have followed Adam and Eve. We can look religious without truly seeking God. It is easy to meet people's religious expectations. We know how to pretend that we are living as God's children. Or that second temptation for us could be desire for power, to use our talents and abilities to gain praise and attention. Jesus, on the other hand, refused Satan's logic. The screaming whisper returns again with an offer of palaces and kingdoms. Compromise, and it's all yours. This is Frodo Baggins offering the one ring that rules them all. To worship Satan is to choose success. This third temptation is to want what everyone wants. The evil one does not appear for us in a readily identifiable red suit holding a pitchfork. The tempter appears as something reasonable. Evil's nagging voice for the desire for a little bigger house, a better vehicle, a little more in savings, and a little better job. Have you ever learned that someone who does your same job makes more money than you? We know that thinking is no good. But we only see the injustice and wonder what we would do with that extra money. We choose to hang on to greed until it starts to crowd out things that matter more. O.A. Batista wrote, "You have reached the pinnacle of success as soon as you become uninterested in money, compliments, or publicity. By that standard, most of us grope for the summit. Through cracked and bleeding lips, Jesus answers the master counterfeiter, "Bow down to God alone. Worship only God." The adversary retreats temporarily, but Jesus never stopped being tempted to make it easier for himself. Jesus faced the same temptations to compromise that we face. We choose every day between what seems okay and what is true to the gospel. We need to remember this story of Jesus in the wilderness in conjunction with the story of Adam and Eve's temptation. There were no witnesses, but there was the Word of God. Jesus must have told his disciples because he hoped that they would remember. Maybe you have experienced meeting someone who was so kind and caring that you wanted to be kind and caring too. Remember that there was one who lived beyond comfort, praise, and affluence. Let us remember whose we are. The voice at Jesus' baptism was the voice of assurance. "This is my beloved child." God assures us that we too are God's children. We come to this Lenten season of repentance, confessing our longing for the paths of least resistance and asking for new and honest hearts. Then we will be able to say, like the psalmist, "Whoever trusts in God is surrounded by steadfast love." Amen. Let us join in singing, "In the bulb there is a flower."